Busted appliance? This is your sign to upgrade. Shop at Lowe's to get up to 35% off and next day delivery on hundreds of major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 3/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Order by 4 p.m. Available Monday through Saturday. Subject to availability. Fees, exclusions, and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/appliance delivery for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Today on The Grave Talks, solving the puzzle. A conversation with Bruce Halliday. Spirits seem to try to communicate with the living in many ways. One of those ways is through a device known as a ghost box. A box that scans radio frequencies in hopes of a spirit using the energy of the white noise to audibly bring messages to the living. No one knows this better than Bruce Halliday. Today, Bruce joins us to discuss the principles of helping spirits cross over, untruthful communication, helping loved ones get a message from the dead, and the pros and cons of using a device like a ghost box in a criminal investigation. First, we'll start out by discussing what makes a ghost box work, for those unfamiliar.
Yeah, well, ghost boxes are, you know, I mean, for those of you out there that are not familiar with what a ghost box is, a ghost box is a device that we use that renders live spirit communication. It's more or less, it receives radio signals from regular broadcast radio, either the AM or FM band. Some ghost boxes use a shortwave band. We receive the radio signals, and the premise behind the ghost box is that it's designed to sweep the radio band at a certain speed continuously so that it breaks down the full words or phrases or sentences of human speech into small sound fragments. In turn, we believe over the years of doing research and through the communication that we get and, you know, what we've been able to, piece together over the years, the way an entity will deliver communication through a ghost box is they will actually take bits and pieces of the sound that's being produced by the ghost box, and they sort of put the pieces together to build full words and sentences of communication. And in turn, that's delivered through the speaker of the ghost box. That allows us to hear it in real time as they're sending it, as they're communicating it. So it's not like traditional EVP where you would have to, start a recording device, ask your questions, let the recorder run for a certain amount of time, and then you would review the recording to see if you captured any electronic voice phenomenon, which would be communication from an entity that's not of this world. And you would not hear that communication live with traditional EVP. The advantage of a ghost box is it allows us to hear the communication live as it's delivered, and it gives us the opportunity to have a back and forth interaction with the entity that we're communicating with live in real time.
My question I'd have about that, and it's one of them I had early on, and then we'll go into some of our other stuff, is someone who's just learning about this for the first time, they may wonder, okay, you're sweeping the bands. What is to say that you know, just by random chance after so many times, you're going to hear the radio announcer say, this syllable, and then the next band has another syllable, and by chance it starts to sound like words and such. Who's to say that is all that is happening? It's just kind of luck. Or are we talking that these entities are using the bands themselves, and they, in fact, are almost broadcasting their own words by using the energy of the white noise, the energy of the actual broadcast signals, to create their own words and things of that nature?
All right, that's like a two-part answer. So
yeah, go for it.
As far as receiving stray radio words, full words of radio broadcast, and you know, even up to full 2 or 3 word phrases of full radio broadcast, that's an inherent it's an occupational hazard with the use of a ghost box. No ghost box is capable of eliminating 100% of any stray radio signal or full words of radio that may escape being broken down by the sweep of the ghost box. So it does happen. Now, there are, let me explain. Well, yeah, I want to put this the right way for people that, you know, I want to put it like in very simple terms so that people that don't know about it will understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
When you do ghost box communication, when you use a ghost box for any period of time, and the first part of this answer is going to be that this spirit communication is very discernible. It stands out from what would be, say, stray radio signal words that you may get that may coincide or be in relevant proximity to what you were asking the question or the topic of your session, you know, and would you would believe that a stray radio signal would be an answer to your question or could be mistaken for communication. It's communication. When you hear stray radio signal come through the box or you find it in review of your recording, of your session recording, human speech is very tonal. It's very, it has a cadence to it. It's very structured. It's not chaotic. It's very uniformed in its delivery and its tone and its frequency, its sound. So if you were to hear, say, you know, if you would ask a simple question like, you know, is there anyone there today that would like to communicate with me? And you hear the response, I'm here. Okay. You take those two words. Now, if that was stray radio signal that happened to come through and it just happened to coincide, it happened to be a relevant answer to the question that you asked, you would hear, I'm here, the way you hear me speaking it now. It's in the same tone of voice. It's being delivered in the same voice, the same tone. It's being delivered in a fluid manner. And you hear that it's actually human speech. When an entity uses a ghost box to form communication, like I said, they're making up words. The words that they send, the communication they send, are more or less a patchwork of these small fragments of sound. So when you hear, I'm here, and that is an actual spirit communication or an actual entity communicating through the ghost box, it's going to be apparent that it's not typical human speech. Like, it's not going to sound, it could come, the I'm could come in a male voice, the here could come in a female voice. It could be one word, could be a combination of both high and tone pitch, high and low tone, high and low pitch, so that it's just going to sound, it's going to sound erratic. It's not going to sound comfortable and complete the way a human voice would sound if they were speaking in a regular human speech, you know. So, but it takes time to discern that live. Like, if you're hearing it live during a session, there's so much going on during a ghost box session, so much sound and so much chaos from the sweep is going on, that when you, if you're, it takes a while for you to develop an ear to discern what might be stray radio signal and what could be actual communication. After a while, you get to know it's second nature. You know what I mean? And usually you'll ask for, you'll see seasoned ghost box operators, people with experience, they know to structure their ghost box session in a way that the questions that they ask will give the most limited amount of opportunity for stray radio signal to be mistaken for an answer. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, if you ask just basic generic questions that require a yes or no answer or require a one or two word, one syllable word answers, it's going to be hard pressed to determine whether that was, I mean, you still can do it. You'll still determine, like, maybe not on the spot, but in review of the recording, you'll say, well, you know what, that's stray radio signal. Or, you know what, that just sounds like it can't be stray radio signal because it's not, it's just two different voices, or it's just, it's a little bit too chaotic or unstructured to be just a regular human speech, you know? So it takes time, it takes experience, but, you know, that is, like I said, it's an inherent thing with ghost box communication. Words, and, you know, sometimes, not often, but sometimes whole phrases will escape the sweep of the box and be and come through, stray radio signal will come through. And, you know, from time to time, you can mistake it for being actual communication. Mm-hmm. But like I said, if you structure your session to ask questions, like instead of asking a basic question that'll, you know, derive a yes or no answer, or just a basic answer that could be mistaken, you know, if something did come through, stray signal did come through, you could mistake it for communication. Structure your sessions in a way where you're going to ask specific questions that'll, you know, warrant answers that are not generic. You know what I mean?
Sure. And that starts to make a lot more sense the way that that you explain it. When you go into sessions and you're obviously you're opening this door to all sorts of possibilities of who or what you may be communicating with. And sometimes, you know, it's specific things you're looking for. Sometimes you may be surprised by, you know, who you end up communicating with. Let's talk something like a wayward spirit, you know, someone who's there, who's communicating with you. What do you, once you get that communication and they're there, what do you know to do with it? Is it just a matter of let's talk, let's hear your story? Is there anything you can do for them? Are they looking for help from this side? What sort of things have you discovered in that sort of area?
Well, usually, like I said, I'll organize my session before I start it, and I'll have a specific set of questions, and, you know, most of the time a specific entity that I'll try to communicate with. But if there is, you know, if a communication does come through and it's a random communication from an entity and it doesn't have anything to do, it has no relevance to the topic that I set for the session or any relevance to the question that I asked, but it's just, you know, a generic statement by the entity. Well, not generic, but it's a random statement by an entity that just wish to get that communication through. We get a lot of, and I know this happens to all, you know, almost all, if not all, people that operate ghost boxes. We get requests for help on a continuous basis. I mean, I don't think there's a session that goes by that I don't get some entity asking for help in some way, you know, and it's usually, and you can tell, I mean, it's an authentic plea for help because you can hear the inflection in the communication. You know, it's like a distressed ask for help. It's not just like, if you were to hear someone say, oh, why don't you offer some help? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's usually a distressed request for help, like help or help me, you know, or I need help, you know, like that. It's like a distressed call, mm-hmm. you know? So are you
saying you literally hear them saying I need help, or is it more
absolutely. Okay. Yeah, wow. I could send you. Yeah. Wow. I mean, I could play 100 audio files for you that I have cataloged that have that exact phrase.
You know? So when you hear that, when you hear someone saying I need help, they're obviously, are they realizing that, oh my God, I have this open communication line with someone right now, and I guess how did they know that you can help them? And how do you know that you can help them?
Well, you don't. Okay. And I don't think they do. I think it's just, a frantic plea on their part when they realize that they have an open line of communication to the physical world and they're actually in contact with a physical human being. Mm-hmm. What happens, like over the course of the years, I've come to theorize that when you turn on a ghost box, it opens up an energy connection between the spirit world and our world. Mm-hmm. It actually opens a portal, and the way the communication is possible is that the spiritual energy from their side and the physical energy from our side actually meld, and it creates a line of communication, a line that the communication travels along. Mm-hmm. You know, in essence, you know, for lack of a better term, it's like a phone line.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And once that line is open, the energy, the physical energy that's emitted through that connection is like it's like a moth to a flame. Mm-hmm. They are just attracted to that spot. Mm-hmm. And you know this because if you go over a ghost box session recording and you actually listen to what's going on constantly, there's many people speaking at one time. It's like being in the middle of a big party, not hearing any specific word, but hearing constant talking, constant people, you know, milling around and talking and trying to get what they're saying to be heard above everything else. Mm-hmm. So they'll come up, they'll actually rush to the point of where the communication is possible being sent, and they'll all start to yell out, you know, whatever they feel to them is the most important thing for them to say. It may be a message to their family. It may be a message about what happened to them. It may be, it could be anything. Mm-hmm. It could be anything. And they're going to say whatever, whether it pertains to your session topic or your question or whatever, they're going to say whatever's the most important thing for them to get through at that moment, because they have the opportunity to get something across to the physical world, hoping that someone will hear what they have to say. So that's where you get those random messages coming through. And as far as help goes, as far as the requests for help, I always immediately stop when I hear that. And I ask immediately the entity or the individual that just asked for help, can you tell me what your name is? Mm-hmm. Always establish a contact with that particular entity. Mm-hmm. And 9 out of 10 times you'll get a name. You know, and then you ask, you know, nicely, what can I do to help you? What do you need help with? Mm-hmm. You know, and listen intently, try to, you know, focus and block out whatever else is going on and try to listen intently for that answer. You're not going to hear, because at this point in ghost box communication, we're still only capable of hearing about, and this is a seasoned operator that has a good ear for listening to a ghost box, about 20-25% of the communication that's delivered, we hear live. The rest, the majority of it, we hear, you know, we find in review of the recording after the session. So it's you have to really focus. If you want to help that entity or find out what the cause, what the reason was, why they're asking for help, and you're going to have to find out right there on the spot, because after you shut the session down, and by the time you review the recording, get to the spot where that happened, you know, isolate it and really pay attention, it's going to be hours, if not days, before you actually, understand what message they had to send. So at that point, it's irrelevant. You know what I mean? So what you do then is, what I do is I call upon my spirit technicians, Mike and Lisa. I ask them to control any other entities that are trying to communicate and just give their energy and help to this one entity that's asking for help, so that I can receive the communication I need to see if I'm able to help this individual. And usually they'll be a big help. They'll be a big force in helping to get that entity's communication through to me and to quell whatever nonsense is going on around the spot of communication. So normally an entity that'll ask for help or a cry for help is usually a newly crossed entity that's still confused. They haven't accepted that they're dead. They haven't accepted that, you know, that they've left the physical world. They don't realize where they are or what's going on. Mm-hmm. They could be stuck here in the physical world, not have crossed over yet to the spirit world, and they're lost. They don't know where they are or what's going on. So as soon as they get that connection and they hear a physical voice and they know that they can get a message across to someone that can hear them, they actually, that's the first thing they do is they ask for help because they're confused and lost. So what, that usually leads, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was saying, what kind of help can you give them when they reach out and ask for that help? What sort of experiences have you had?
It depends on what they ask for. I mean, okay. if you actually hear a request from them, mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10, they'll say to you, you know, am I dead? You know, okay. Did I die? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know where I am. I'm lost. Can you help me? I can't find my way. You know, so in essence, what you want to do is the only help that we can actually offer them mm-hmm. is to try and explain what we believe the situation they're in, like I just explained it to you. Mm-hmm. Help them accept the fact that they have passed on and that they need to cross over to the spirit world. There are indications there for them that'll lead them to the crossover point. Mm-hmm. We try to help them calm down and reach that point. You know, if we can accompany them or direct them to that point with the help of our technicians, get them to the point. Like we characterize it as a light, like going into the light. Mm-hmm. We ask them, and usually they usually acknowledge that there is a point of light. There is a bright light or a point of light that they can see in the distance, or, you know, so we try to guide them towards that and help them to get where they're going, or help them to take the first steps on their journey to get where they're going. Give them some stability so that they're not in a panic, that they're not, you know, lost and scared and in a panic. We give them some sort of focus to follow so that they can get where they're going. And usually that works. I've done many crossover sessions and I've gotten acknowledgement by my technicians that yes, that entity did cross over, or yes, that entity is on its way to crossing over, you know, or, you know, yes, we will help them. We'll get them to where they need to be. You know, I'll get some sort of acknowledgement by the end of the session that it was accomplished, or, you know, and not every time, but I've had it happen many times, you know, and I have it all documented. I have all the audio documented and everything. And, you know, that's it. As far as that goes, that's, you know, anybody can do a crossover session. It's very simple. I mean, usually it's a seasoned operator that'll attempt it. Usually novice operators or people that are new to Ghostbox communication won't know the protocols of how to go about doing a crossover session. But I actually, on my Facebook page, I have an article that I wrote years back mm-hmm. about doing a crossover session, how to do one and how to, you know, what to look for, you know, how to acknowledge that it is a crossover session, you know, that you need to help an entity cross over and how to do it. So anybody that's listening, if you want to go to my Facebook page, you're welcome to go. Just, you know, scroll through and you'll find that it's an article about how to help spirits cross over using a ghost box.
Let me ask you this. Does physicality have anything to do with who you end up communicating with, or can you be literally anywhere and communicate with anyone? So you're doing that at your house versus, you know, you're on the other side of the country.
Yeah, you can do it anywhere, anytime, any, you know, you can be on location on an investigation.
But will you be getting the same people, I guess, is my question, no matter where you're at?
I just addressed this question with someone else on a panel. Mm-hmm. And you can get your technician. This is, again, where your technicians come into play. Your mm-hmm. spirit technicians come into play here, because usually when we do a ghost box session, subconsciously we're in the frame of mind that we're communicating with entities that are communicating from the spirit world, right?
Sure.
So that's how we kind of approach the session. You can communicate with entities from the spirit world. You can communicate with entities that are in visitation in your location. If you're out on an investigation and there's entities that are stuck or stranded in that location, you can communicate with them. Now, if I'm doing, I do mostly controlled sessions in my home. I don't do investigations anymore. I do all my research and my sessions are in a controlled environment in my home. So I had someone ask me, they said, I was on an investigation recently and I did a ghost box session and I communicated with an entity by the name of, let's say, Tom, right?
Sure.
And he was stuck in that location, and the location, when we went, the individual that we knew, an incident occurred at this location with this individual named Tom, and we actually managed to get some communication from an entity that claimed to be Tom, and blah, blah, blah. So he said to me, is it possible for me to do a ghost box session, say, from my home and communicate with this Tom that was at this location?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, yes, it's absolutely possible. What happens is, if you want to communicate with that certain entity, right? Let's say Tom is at Waverly Hills, right? And I want to communicate with Tom at Waverly Hills, and I'm on the other side of the country. When I start my session, I let my technicians know, today I'm going to attempt communication with an entity named Tom that is stuck or residing at Waverly Hills Sanitarium. And I spoke to him prior to this, and I would like to make contact with him. Can you relay the communication? And they'll tell you either if it's possible for them to do it at that moment, they'll tell you yes. If it's not possible, they'll tell you no. So you go by whatever answer they give you. 9 times out of 10, they're going to give you a yes because they're capable of doing that. And what they do is your technician in that circumstance will act as a conduit. Whatever questions you have or whatever communication you want to send, you will speak aloud. Your technician will receive that communication from you and relay your questions or communication to the entity you're trying to contact. So they relay your message. Now, whatever communication that entity needs to send you now will come through your technician. You will get the answers from that entity or the communication that they need to send you from your technician. It will be relayed through the technician to you through the ghost box, and you will hear it. So they act as like a phone operator. You're sending communication, they're receiving your communication, sending it on to its point of destination, then they receive communication from them and they send it on to you at your location. And that's how it happens back and forth. It's a relay back and forth. It usually doesn't last long. It doesn't last as if you were doing a regular session. It's usually 1 or 2 questions, maybe 3 questions, 3 communications, and it ends abruptly for whatever reason. I think, I've come to surmise that it's got a lot to do with the energy connection, that the energy stretch between distances it's more taxing on the technician. So their energy supply depletes. And they do have a limited amount of energy to communicate with us. So, I recently formulated a theory, came up with a hypothesis, and actually wrote an article about it. It's called, I named it Phase Transition in a Ghost Box Session. It's how the ghost box session starts, the energy starts to build, hits a peak, and then starts to decline. And this all happens in certain time parameters. And I did it experiments over maybe 50 sessions. And it always happens within the same basic time constraints. So a good ghost box session could last anywhere from the beginning to about 20, 22 minutes. After that, your communication falls off to almost nothing. And that's because whatever energy the entities used to make that connection, or whatever the energy connection is coming from that side that's connecting with ours, that's making the communication possible, starts to get used up and dwindle. It's like a battery that starts to go dead. And after a while, it's going to get slower and slower, and then the battery eventually is going to die, and that's going to be the end of that session. I see people out there that, I know people that turn on a ghost box and they leave it on for an hour. And they just go about their, they wash their dishes, they fold their laundry, while they're listening to the ghost box.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And it doesn't work that way. They're not going to, first of all, they're not going to hang around. A technician is not going to stay in control of a session for an hour that's unattended. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So they're going to stop the communication right there. They'll cut the line of communication right there, and they'll go about their business. And all you're going to hear is radio, chatter. You're going to hear sweep chatter. You're not going to hear radio. You're going to hear sweep chatter. You'll hear the radio, the ghost box sweeping, but you're not going to get any communication. Because it's like calling somebody up on, it's like me calling you and saying, hey, Tony, how you doing? Oh, listen, Tony, hold on for a second. Put the phone down, and I go out for the paper. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure.
And come back after an hour, pick up the phone, and expect Tony to be sitting there waiting.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. It makes sense. Or another reference would be, people today on their cell phones. Let's have a conversation. They're sitting on their cell phone the whole time. When you're communicating with something, and I understand this, we've talked about this on the show a little bit before, is when they're coming to you and they, you're like, okay, or we got the open line here. They're kind of rushing all to get there. You're asking for so-and-so. Somebody just may want to communicate, and they're going to say they're, Susan from St. Louis or whatever it may be, just to get that communication line going because the opportunity is there. That's obviously untruthful. But beyond them, identifying as someone else just to be able to do the communication, are there other experiences you've had where they're literally just like making up other content or other stories about themselves just to kind of talk?
Every session.
Yeah.
Every single, and I do a session. I've done a session literally every day for the last 15 years. So,
yeah.
And I'm telling you, almost every session that happens.
Really? Why?
And I've come to have basic, questions that when I have kind of an idea that it's not the individual that I'm talking to or they're not being truthful with me, I'll have certain questions that I'll throw in there. That'll determine that for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, then I cut communication with them and go on to something else.
It's almost like when I get a wrong number, which is rarer more today, but like telemarketers and such. But every once in a while you get a wrong number, that's something I used to do all the time where it's like, is Bill there? This is Bill. And then you kind of go into this conversation. And I've talked to people for like 10, 15 minutes going on and letting them kind of do their thing. Like, oh, yeah, I know. You keep kind of generic answers, but enough for them to keep going. It's almost kind of like that in a certain way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what happens is, I attribute it to a couple of things. There are entities out there. There are entities on the other side that are mischievous. There are entities that just do it for the sake of doing it, like wise asses.
Yeah.
That are just doing it to get a laugh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's not really meaning harm. They're just like, well, I'm going to screw with people because why not?
Right.
That wraps up part one of our conversation with Bruce. In part two, what are some of the experiences that Bruce has had while helping the living talk with their deceased loved ones using a ghost box? Is a ghost box a tool that could be used in a missing person or even a murder investigation? And what shocking experience did Bruce have when an investigator reached out to him asking for help on one such missing person investigation? All that and more in part two to hear it. Become a Gravekeeper. That's a supporter of our show. Sign up at patreon.com/thegravetalks. When you do, you'll get access to all of our episodes in their entirety, part one and part two. You also get access to all of the episodes in the archive, commercial free, and advanced episodes of the show before they're released to the public. Check it out, patreon.com/thegravetalks, or go to thegravetalks.com and click Become a Gravekeeper to get in on all of that and help keep this program on the air. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that one in four honest, hardworking, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Save big on home updates at Menards. Transform your floors and walls with stylish Mohawk porcelain tile. 12 by 24 inch urban forged tiles combine a bold modern look with the timeless beauty of natural stone for a stunning result. Plus, they feature StepSure, an advanced slip-resistant technology providing safety without compromising style. Save big money on Mohawk porcelain tile. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.